Hi, this is Sunny, coming to you from my backyard in the Superior Highlands in Lake County, Minnesota. Winter is starting to change in the backyard. It has come and gone this year, multiple times, in fits and starts. So far, we've had a below-normal snow year, but stay tuned. That can change. We have gotten enough snow, though, to enjoy outdoor winter sports and activities. We're lucky. South of here, in many places, there's no snow cover at all. The weeks that led up to winter last fall were the most glorious weather weeks I think I've ever experienced here in the woods. Cool, sunny days with no bugs. Day after day, week after week. Fall is usually just 1 week, if you're lucky, of cool, sunny days, and then many weeks of clouds and rain. But not last fall. Amazing. Winter arrived mid-November with cold snow and, of course, the wind. It retreated before the holidays and things got drippy and mushy. Then it came back strong in January with more cold and snow. A roller coaster for the senses. Crunchy, then mushy. Below zero, then above freezing. Safe to drive on the lake. Then vehicles are falling through the ice. The winter of change. One thing that doesn't change, though, is the days getting longer after we pass the winter solstice. After months of living in darkness, the best part about life now is longer daylight. Living in the woods is always pretty amazing if you pay attention. I'm still surprised on a regular basis by what I see outside. For the first time in many, many years, I had evening grosbeaks here for about 2 months this winter. Some days not a lot, just three or four, but some days a good dozen. How cool is that? Evening grosbeaks are the bright yellow ones with big white and black accents. When I first moved into the woods, I had pine and evening grosbeaks every winter on and off, but it's been many years now since I've seen a lot of evening grosbeaks for any length of time over about a week. What a treat. The pine grosbeaks, the big bright red ones, they've been around all winter and they're still here. They have such calm and relaxing behavior. I've started to think of them as meditation birds. They perch for long periods of time, not moving, on the branches above the feeders. They flutter down once in a while to eat, then back up to sit on a tree branch. They don't even fly away when the dogs run out and chase squirrels on the ground underneath them. Maybe they enjoy watching all the activities around the house and yard. Or maybe they just like hanging out by food all day. Another amazing thing this winter was the ruffed grouse who always fed at the feeders. Some years they do, and some years they don't. The population might be up right now, or maybe there are just no predators around that eat grouse. They also go up into the trees, a lot of times roosting at night in trees. It brings a smile to my face when I look up and see big, dark blobs up in the trees at sunset. In low light and mostly shadow, you could almost imagine that you have chickens in your trees. The winter regulars are all here. Chickadees, nuthatches, woodpeckers, blue jays, and red squirrels. And then at night, the flying squirrels and the barred owls. The barred owls are still occasionally calling close to the house, taunting the inside small dog, the minpin. I swear they call close just to hear him going into barking frenzies. Ah, the joys of cross-species agitation. The dog is easily agitated, and the barred owls aren't the only animals messing with him, as it were. A feral cat showed up in the backyard a year ago last fall. First time that's ever happened. For the first 3 or 4 months, last winter, all I knew was that there was a cat hanging around. I never saw it in daylight, but I would see its eyes reflecting back at me in the headlamp, and little kitty tracks in the snow. Last spring, it finally let itself be seen, but only at the safe distance of 15 or 20 feet. It took me months of feeding, coaxing, cajoling, and finally I was able to touch the cat. And then it took a long time, and I was able to pet the cat. And then it wasn't long before I picked him up and deposited him inside the house this past fall. The house huskies, the two girls, immediately retreated to their kennels. Something new and scary is here! But that didn't last long, and now they just ignore him. Not so the minpin. No, unfortunately, the minpin's delicate apple cart was violently upset by the newest member of the household. He charged after Mr. Kitty. I know, not an original name. He would charge after the cat, and the cat would run away. The little dog would strut back to his chair, victorious. This lasted about, 3 days. And then Mr. Kitty figured out a few key points. I have claws, he doesn't. I'm almost as big as he is, and I can kick his butt. Having survived out in the woods for goodness knows how long, Mr. Kitty is smart, resilient, and a cunning fighter. Edward Scissorpaws is born. World War III has begun. They go back and forth over and over and over. The cat always wins. The dog always loses. But the dog always thinks he wins, and he never stops trying. Minpins are nothing if not tenacious. I didn't necessarily want another house cat, but I couldn't stomach worrying about it through another winter. And I love birds. I feed birds. I get great enjoyment from watching birds all the time. Feral cats and tame cats, if left outside, will kill birds with alarming regularity. So, Mr. Kitty is now safely indoors and has brought a lot of new life into the house. The winter of change. Well, this is Sunny signing off. Thank you for listening to WTIP. I can't wait to talk to you again. In the meantime, drive carefully and don't forget to be grateful.